Hello, everybody. This is the Real Deal Reality Check with Larry Lawton, the Real Deal Podcast with me, Larry Lawton. And, you know, we got a lot to talk about today because I haven't been on YouTube in a week and the rumors are flying. So one rumor was that I died. There's other rumors that I'm sick. I'm going to address all that today and I'm going to address it with my guest today. I have Teresa Nunez on, who works in our office. Is very close to me for 14 years, 13 years, I think it is now.
Yeah, I think 13, 12 to 13.
12 to 13 years, and she's the rock in the office. So anytime you send an email or something, she usually reads it. And then we go from there, and she processes the books and everything else. So she's the one that's going to really get through to me. And she keeps me grounded, if you want to call it that. So we're going to get into it. So first of all, let me give you a little background on Teresa. Teresa was a math teacher. Yes, a math teacher. And we debate that all the time, how much we don't need that. We're going to get into that, right?
Right.
Look, she's laughing because she's going to say, no, we need it. And we do need it. But I'm a big believer in reading. I think the reading is the most important thing you can do. Because then you can read directions and stuff. And, of course, she's a math teacher. But she's one of the best math teachers around. She actually took her team to third place in the county math competition, was it?
Correct.
A couple times, correct?
Two different years, yes.
Yeah, so that's perfect. Okay, so Teresa, let's get into a couple of things. We're going to first get into me, and, you know, we had off for the whole week. You know, all of us had off for the whole week. A lot of people were addressing me. You know I had a spider bite.
Correct, a bad spider bite.
Yes, it was a bad spider bite. I had to go to the hospital, get it glanced and all that, and it's somewhat better now. But I needed to take the time off.
Well, it made you sick.
It made me sick. And it also, you know, and I'll be straight up, it gets you depressed a little bit. You know, you don't want to do anything, you're down, and I'm the first to admit that. We all fight through a lot of things, everybody does. That's just normal in life. So you have to get up off the mat and fight. And I'm doing this podcast now to do that, right?
Correct.
Boom. What a teacher. Yes.
I know.
I'm waiting to get yelled at, everybody.
No, I'm really glad you took care of the spider bite because you're such a stubborn person about things that you can fight through it and always have been. And this time I think you knew that this was beyond your scope.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was hurting, and it's funny because the doctors didn't know what the hell they were doing either. But it's somewhat fixed. It's not 100% yet, but it will be. I will be back in the saddle doing videos here. We're having meetings, bringing out. Keep all the suggestions coming. Keep the, we're going to be doing videos on reviews, on prisons, on the crime and stuff. A lot going on. The Gabby Petito case. Supposedly, they just found some skeleton remains or remains and some information of him. We don't know what that is yet. Here it is Thursday late afternoon, and this is going up at 8 in the morning. So, but what I like to tell people, this is the Real Deal Podcast. As I told Teresa, there is no cutting. There is no editing of this. It is what it is. I have a mobile studio as well. And we are in a mobile area to do this podcast because I like that. I can go places. I can do things. And it's really working out well with mics and stuff. Okay, Teresa, let's get into kids.
Okay.
You dealt with kids, and that's actually how I met you. I met you at a gym, and you were a teacher. And I just started my reality check program at that time. You still have that big heart for kids. You know, and why? What is it that touches you with the kids?
Well, academically, I love to teach kids and see a change in them. But when you change their academics, you also sometimes can change their emotions about things, their self-confidence. I like to help others. It's kind of how I got started helping in Reality Check, because I saw you helping others, and I like that. And of course, when you teach a child something and they make progress, it makes you feel good, too. And so it's a give and take. You receive, you give. But I love children. I have 12 grandchildren. And
12 grandchildren? You look 12. Pretty good there. You look hot for 12 grandkids, I'll tell you that.
Well, they keep you young, too. They're a lot of fun. They A lot of them like math, which makes me happy, but they're fun-loving and...
Wait a minute. Let's get this straight. A lot of them don't like math, too.
A lot of them don't like math, too. A lot of them struggle.
But... out of 12, maybe 3 like math?
Well, let's say 3 get it and others struggle. But last year during COVID, I tutored through Zoom one grandchild in St. Augustine. And I did a local grandchild because she preferred Zoom. And because of COVID, and they both got A's.
I don't buy that.
They worked hard.
I don't buy that. You did it.
No, I didn't
do it. Oh, come on. I don't buy that at all. You know, listen, kids are smart today. They know how to manipulate. They know how to get what they want out of their grandparents and the teacher. And, grandma stuff probably works.
I think they like to impress me, too. My one grandson comes into my house and writes on the whiteboard. I have a big whiteboard. The first thing he does is writes a math problem up there and wants me to talk through it with him.
Well, we know that one.
Alexander, he's been on...
on my show.
A show.
I consider him my grandkid. Smart, very good, very intelligent, right. Obviously, you know, well above. And very good kid, too. He's not, like, disrespectful or anything like that. And he's being raised great, I got to say that.
Yes.
You got four good kids that raising their kids. But isn't it funny how you see that everything they pulled over your eyes now?
Oh, sure. And I can't wait to watch my kids handle it because my kids pulled the wool over my eyes.
Oh, all the time.
All the time. And I find out things all the time about what they did behind my back.
You should see how funny
I should have had you around when... one of them, especially, and we're not going to name names.
Does he live in Tampa?
Maybe, but boy, he's a success, and I'm really proud of him.
He's a great guy. He really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I always see it. I saw it for years, you know, and I got a kick out of it and used to say, oh, they wouldn't do that. And I'm in the back of my head saying, okay, yeah, they're not sneaking out. They're not figuring out the alarm system. Oh, yeah, they're not. They had you so, but, you know, let my audience know. I don't know where you're from, everybody out there. Teresa's from Iowa. Remember that.
Farm country.
Farm country, Iowa. So she's not growing up in the big city in New York and slick and all that. Nope. So it's pretty easy to pull something over her eyes. I got to say that. But
they've all turned out fine. You never know in life. It can go one way or the other. But they're all doing great. I'm very proud of all of them.
Yes, but obviously I am too. Obviously.
You are too.
But I want to also say this. It's amazing because they went through their troubles.
Sure, you know? Did.
I mean, and I want young people out there who are listening to this show or young parents or whatever, no matter how bad you think it is, it's not as bad as it is at that moment. I often tell young people, time heals all wounds. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, how do I get over this? I had a young man, 17, he lost his girlfriend. His girlfriend, I think, to suicide or something, and 17 years old, it was his love already, and asked me how to get over it. And it's tough, and I gave him condolences, of course, but time will heal that. I mean, it's just your whole life is there, and you can't let any one thing define you. I tell people like me, I mean, I had a wild life, everybody knows that, but you can't let the negative define you or the positive to a degree. You know, you have to strive for better and better, be the person you want to be. But don't, because if you let it get to your head, whatever it is, whether it's me on YouTube or it's me on a TV show or the bad parts of me, prison, being a bad guy, you can't let it define you. You got to define yourself over a course of time on how you treat people and how people treat you.
Well, at the time, you think it's so serious. And now when we talk about it, we actually laugh about some of the things they did, but at the time, it was so dramatic. Like, how could you sneak out the window and be brought to my door at 3 a.m. with a cop?
The cop stops you, catch pot in the car, and you want to kill him.
And I had the alarm on, and how did you get out, and why are you at my... Anyway, now we laugh, because fortunately, no one got hurt, or, you know, but...
Well, boys will be boys. And girls will be girls.
And girls will, too. And I had 2 girls and 2 boys. And, of course, you want them safe most of all. But they're going to go out in life and try things. But now we laugh. Some things we laugh about. Not everything.
I think we still left. I think we left about everything now. I mean, I know it all, so.
Well, if your child is driving in a hurricane and then they're in jail and you don't get them out because you can't get money and then they say to you, oh, geez, thanks, Mom. That kind of stories you never forget, but now you go, well, that was a lesson that I'm sure
And you laugh. I laugh at them. I laugh how funny that is. Because I say don't go to jail because that's not a good place to be.
And he never went to jail again. So he learned his lesson.
Well, yeah. You hope. I mean, or never got caught.
Right.
That's how I look at that. You know, it's not about the you know, we still screw up. I tell people every day we screw up at here. No matter what age you are, you screw up.
But you learn your lesson that you don't ever want to do that again like you did. And, I mean, I learned a lot through your story that you can make bad choices, but
major bad choices,
and you can go to jail or prison, and you can change your life around. And if you're lucky enough to get out of there, which can be part of the situation, then you can change your life.
Well, what I try to explain to young people more than anything is this: no matter what happens and how bad it is, and no matter what you've done, you can change. I mean, I watch young people, you know, come into prison at 20 years old, be big drug dealers, you know, beat people, armed robberies, everything. And of course it's bad, but they do change. And I think if one thing I try to express to people, we're going to change. Young people, more than anything, they can't look at being 25, 30, 35, 45, 55, whatever it is. They're looking at, like, when you're a 15, 16-year-old kid, you think 30 is forever. I'm, oh my God, 30 years old. I remember when I was a young kid, I never thought I'd live to 50. Never did. And now look, you know, 60.
And now you're 60.
Oh, and just came back from a party, which I explained on this show. But, and I got hammered and had
great
fun.
Great birthday party.
Oh my God. We had 31 people go out to Cancun, and it was just a party, a street party. I don't think I was sober about, what, maybe 6 hours a day out of 24, so 18, I was hammered, something like that, when I was sleeping, which I didn't do too much of that either, you know. So, with your kids, now, I'm looking at young kids out there now, and I'm looking at the shows that are on TV, and the games. You don't get into the games much, I do.
I do not, no.
But what are you thinking of? You think they're bad or good?
Some of them I think are bad. I know that you play Grand Theft Auto, but when my grandson was 6 and I was babysitting him, and he had it on without permission, his parents were gone, and I said, that man just knocked that lady's out. He hit her in the face, and she fell on the curb. You may not play this game. Well, he said, my dad said I could. I said, really? That's my son. So I called my son. He goes, no, he's just trying to pull a fast one over you. He may not play that game now. He plays it now.
Oh, yeah. He played it at 10 and 9.
And now my 6-year-old other grandchildren, I think, might play it. I'm not sure who plays it. But I don't get into the games, only if they're a math game, and then I might do something with them related to math.
Oh, you're real fun.
I know.
Now, everybody out there, young people, I want you to imagine this. How about your grandmother say, let's play a math game? Get out of here, Grandma.
You give them questions, and there's 12, and you give them questions, and they get $1 for answering it right.
That's my game.
I know, that's your trivia game, but, you know.
I do a trivia game with kids when they're all around, and I get a bunch of $1 bills, and I make, if you can answer the next 3 or whatever, you get $1 or whatever
it
is.
Based on age, in groups of ages.
And they love that, you know. And I'm surprised how smart they are. You know,
but in school, we have math, reading, science, and social studies, and math is a necessary subject because you use it in your everyday life.
I'm not getting into this show on a math show and why math is needed. You know, we got a calculator today. I do agree with arithmetic. You should know basic arithmetic.
Processing. How did you process sales tax?
That's arithmetic. That's arithmetic.
Okay.
6%. Anyway, you gotta know it's 6%.
That's just the way my brain works. I'm math oriented and.
Well, isn't that kind of boring?
Not to me.
Oh my God.
Not to everybody.
Listen, I want anybody out there to call, text me or email me and say how exciting you think math is.
Okay, well, being a math teacher was fun. I did a lot of fun things in my class, and I tried to teach kids how they could use it in real life, you know, with money and shopping. And.
Okay, let's get into more serious topics. Okay, well, let's get out of
Forget the math.
We don't care about
well,
math.
Well, that's who I am, so
this show don't care about math. Okay. I'm going to get about into a serious topic.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get into children and people, and even me, depression and mental illness with young people, because we do see suicides. We do see young people cutting. Cutting is when they want attention, and it's not. It's really not a.
I had a child in my class that was a cutter.
Yeah,
it was scary.
It's scary, but it's not as bad as people think. They make it out to be. It's not a suicide attempt.
No, but it's an emotional issue that needs to be
addressed. Absolutely. So. Okay, you yourself, have you ever gone through depression and stuff?
Oh, yes.
Everybody does. I did. I mean, I do. I'm
majorly at age 40 and off and on throughout the years, but I've learned tools to help me get through it.
Absolutely. I was just saying, I go through depression. I have PTSD and a bunch of stuff, mm-hmm. and you have to fight it. I usually fight it with work. That's my goal, is to do something with work, do something, because I could catch myself just vegging out. And sometimes you need that. You need to disconnect and just go away. But sometimes you need to go away alone. Go in your RV. Go somewhere. Go get away.
Well, everybody's different. Being alone is a symptom of being wanting to be alone too much is a symptom of being depressed. But everybody handles it differently when you're depressed. Some people like to be around somebody, talk to somebody. Some people take medication.
Some people don't want to be around people.
That's what I'm saying. But the signs of severe depression, you want to help if possible. You don't want someone to make a quick decision. You had someone in your class years ago that told you after class when I was helping you with your class.
Oh, it's a great story. I'll tell that story.
Why don't you tell that story? Because that's a great story.
I do the reality check program, and I do it for the court system. So I was at a program. And a young person comes to me after the class and says, "Hey, Mr. Lawton, you saved my life today." And I gave him the look, like, "What do you mean?" And he goes, no, you saved my life." I said, "Come on, tell me what was tell me what's wrong." After the class, remember, I used to talk to him a
Correct.
Lot.
Yes.
The young person said, "Before this class, I was going to kill myself." He goes, "And now after this class, I see that no matter what you did or happened, you can change and you can be a better person for it." Made me cry. Mm-hmm. I heard from that kid, I think he was 17 or 18. I think he was 18. Then I heard from him when he was 19. And I heard from, and he went in the military, if you remember. And then he told me at 21 years old, I have the emails, how I helped him and saved his life from doing that. And that always stuck in my head a little bit, that you never know what someone else is going through.
No, you don't. That's when kids would walk in the classroom in the mornings and maybe they didn't have breakfast or maybe they got in an argument with their mom, or you never know what a child's been through before they got to school. And children as young as sixth grade, which is what I taught, had depression issues.
Really?
So,
sixth grade. You can spot it?
Oh, yeah. Especially the ones that did the outwardly, like cutting and things.
What did you
like
do
that.
For them as a teacher?
Well, you're kind of hands off with some of that. You have to alert administration and let them handle it with the parent, but you have to be aware of it, and you have to keep the other children not away from it, but you can't speak about it to the other children, but they're curious. So then you have to get the administration involved. But
that's a great lead into. See, I believe in in-school learning. I always said that. I don't like this homeschool or even period, or not only homeschool, I don't even like this lockdown stuff where they keep kids home.
Right.
Because I think teachers are a big part of recognizing abuse, recognizing a kid who's having a bad day, and he gets a rapport with that teacher. And then he can come up to that teacher when he's having a bad day, or maybe he's being abused at home. Now someone says, "Oh, that could be handled easy. We just send a counselor to the house once a month." They don't get that rapport with that teacher.
Students get close to their teachers, and many of them, what I used to do was I would tell the students if they had any issues with anybody or bullying was a big no-no in my world, I would tell them to write
it's
it on.
It's still in mine. I hate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I cannot stand bullying. But they, from the very first day, I would say, okay, on a piece of paper, you write down what happened. You don't have to make, you don't have to say it out loud to me. You write it down, and we'll talk later privately. And we would, I would deal with any issue the child wanted to deal with the best I could. And then if I couldn't, then I alerted the parents or the administration.
So, I mean, I'm sure, well, listen, I think the teacher-student relationship, I remember teachers, good and bad, that I dealt with as a child. And it's amazing. You could be, that's 50 years ago.
Right.
You know, and you're remembering something.
The sad thing is you can't do things like hug kids anymore.
I bullshit.
But you can. But you get...
You can't sexually... You know, I often
it's,
talk
it's,
to...
It's you want to do it because they need it. But sometimes you hold back because you don't want it taken wrong. And then if it's taken wrong, it's a mess. You're taken out of the classroom. Next thing you know, there's an investigation. And so a lot of times, I know.
It's bullshit. And I know. I tell it like it is.
I have teacher friends that said if they can't do that, they're quitting. If they can't be who they are, they're going to quit. And so, especially the kindergarten teachers, because you can't get away with not hugging a kindergartner.
Oh, a little kid, of
yeah.
course. You know
sixth
I mean?
Grader may be different, but.
Yeah, you want the kid who wants to lose, he's fucking just learning how to get a hard on at that age, at 12 years old or whatever the hell it is.
Well, I never thought that, but.
No, you know, I'm talking about hitting puberty. I mean,
true,
the kids and the girls and everybody else. I'm sure you saw a lot of that in school.
Some kids look like they were going on 18, and some look like they were going on 9. They were all different,
well,
girls
I bet you
and
had
boys.
Kids shaving at 12
oh, yeah.
almost.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
tall, some tall. So it was all different depending on their puberty and, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, puberty hits. I often tell kids today, don't worry about when puberty hits. It's going to hit. It doesn't have to hit, you know, any specific time. It's going to hit, and it's going to hit when it's right, and it doesn't matter. You just got to recognize it.
You have to recognize the signs and symptoms so that something doesn't get
it's
left.
It's not symptoms. Why
I mean,
do you
sign,
say
the signs of depression in case you don't want something to happen and you have just pushed it aside. So if kids are bullying somebody and that kid is getting depressed because he's shut down, isn't doing his schoolwork, then you've got to, you really have to get involved because you never know what might happen. Well, you know
well,
what's happened
I
to
always,
kids.
I always say that teachers are more than a math teacher, an English teacher, a
well,
history
for sure.
teacher. You really got to be an observant person to look at what's going on around you and then picking up on that. Because that's more of it than anything. You know, there's so much, you get the basics to me in school. I mean, reading, arithmetic, and I mean, you know, your times tables and everything else. After that, I mean, again, I'm not one that, I don't get this. They give these kids calculus and shit. Excuse me. They give kids calculus.
In high school, not in sixth
and
grade.
And who the fuck uses that? Unless
you're an engineer.
An engineer.
Really. I agree.
Or a NASA scientist or some shit.
You don't need some of this math for some disciplines. You just
and
need
they,
it for
And they make them take it.
They do make them take it.
That is so stupid.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of them fail. And they take it over and over again. And
it's bullshit. I think they should take... I'm a believer in obviously reading, arithmetic, or reading and history. And... Well, believer in history because if we don't understand history, we're going to repeat it.
But then you're a reader and you like history. Not everybody does read and like history.
Read my book.
Right. Well, I have read your book.
Well, if anybody reads my book, they love reading my
book.
Well,
your book keeps you interested. That's for sure. It's well, yeah, it's a great book.
It's wild.
Gangster Redemption. If you haven't read it, get it.
Oh, it's funny because
now he needs to do a cookbook.
Yes, I've been thinking about that.
Somebody just wrote that the other day, I think. When are you going to do your cookbook?
I am, and when I do it, we'll have a big pre-release. We'll do a whole thing on that book. That's going to be a great book. I mean, that's going to be a...
It's a fun book. Fun.
But it's going to have stories in it. That's
well,
what it's going to be based
and
on.
People that like to cook, too, though, will get a kick out of trying to cook it like you did and seeing if they can really do it.
Well, you were. If anybody hasn't seen the video with Teresa... Teresa's in my pasta video.
Right.
When I make prison pasta. And she eats it. You know, you look like a gavone.
I didn't say a word. I just
you ate that like you were starving.
It's so good, everybody.
But you did. I mean, everybody who watched that video goes, damn, Teresa, man. You were going to town on you. And my brother. You and my brother.
We didn't say a word. We just ate.
No, it's like you guys like were like, you know what? I want prison pasta.
It does sound good.
Well, you had a little bit of a surgery, so you can't have it.
No.
You can't have pasta?
No, not right now. Eventually.
Yeah, oh man, I can't have anything like that. Oh. I need to eat. I mean, I'm an eater, so anyway. So what do you do for, I mean, in schools? What about gym? Did you do gym?
No, I didn't have to do gym.
Gym? Well, after were you a teacher? Did you have to take the kids to the yard? Look at me, I'm thinking prison.
To recess, yes, and I had to supervise one part of the playground. Usually, like, one teacher would take the basketball hoops, one would take the soccer field, one would take the playground part where the kids climbed, and we rotated. I usually like to do this basketball because I'm a basketball fan, and I would like to... I participate a little bit sometimes.
You know how much I think it's almost bullshit? I was... Last time I was in the Bronx, and we rode by a school that had people out. I saw the teacher on their phone. I mean, on their phone, the teacher. So that teacher wasn't watching a thing. There's not a question in my mind they were watching anything.
Here where I live, they push, you know, you've got to be, you're not, you put your phone away. You don't need it unless an emergency. You just watch the kids.
They should have a rule you can't use it.
Well, they can't do that anymore, even the kids, because ever since Columbine...
But what does
kids
that
are allowed to have a cell phone.
No, you can have a cell phone, but you can't use it.
You can't use it. If you get caught using it, then there's consequences. But usually they don't carry them around. And, well, it depends on the grade. We're not talking high school. We're talking elementary.
Okay, now let's get back to Columbine or school shootings. You didn't have that as much as when you were a teacher, did you? I mean, how long you retired?
I had lockdowns.
How long you retired?
10 years.
So you've been retired 10 years, and before that you worked in sixth grade math and all that kind of stuff.
Right, 10 plus years. But yes, we had lockdowns. Lived near the beach, and somebody robbed a bar, and it was 3:00, 2:45. Kids couldn't be let out. We had to lock down, close blinds. The man was running around. No one knew where. We didn't know if he was in the school. We couldn't. Of course, the kids didn't know what was going on. We weren't allowed to really tell them anything. Now, I think maybe, I don't know, I'm not in the schools. They may be allowed to use their cell phones with their parents, but they still can't leave till it's all clear. But they found him. He was hiding in the junior high school behind a building.
Oh, he was? He was on school property?
He ran through school property and was hiding. Yep.
Wow.
That happened a couple times.
Well, I can imagine that. I could see where, you know, people are trying to...
And it's not in what I call a area like New York City. It's just a beach town. But things happen still.
And you know, let me tell you something. You know, I got to disagree with you 1,000%. If you look at all the shootings, they all happened in nice, and I'm doing quotes, everybody, nice neighborhoods.
Well, I don't know.
Over down in Parkland, Florida.
Oh,
money.
True.
A Sandy Hook, New Jersey.
It can happen anywhere. I'm not saying that. It's wherever these people are that go in and do these things. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to.
Nice areas. I don't know. You know, you don't say, oh, it's in the inner city.
True.
Is what you kind of say.
Yeah, I agree with you. That I didn't mean it like that. It's just that I don't think the kids ever expected something like that to happen. But things happen everywhere.
Nobody expects that to happen, obviously. Somebody lost a noodle. You know, some of these kids have mental issues, and they went, and I don't think they're recognized enough. I do believe there is, you know, the frustration of a person like myself with people who are supposedly in authority, they're not good authoritarians, if you want to call it authoritarian, but they don't take charge in a way that gives hope. You got some people who are assholes to kids, and you know that sticks in a kid. And a kid has a mental problem; he's gonna lash out at that stupid school, and then they laughed at me because the teacher made the joke or whatever. And you know, I'm not justifying any shootings at all or anybody doing any violence against anybody, But I just think we need to step back and look at what the hell's going on. When a thing happens, when you take the Cruz case over in Parkland, excuse me, the worst school shooting in American history, 17 kids got killed, and I think one adult or something like that, or 17 people got killed. And, you know, when you look at that kid Cruz, he was calling out for help for years. Mm-hmm. He had 100 calls to the police. They never come to the house. Nobody helped that family, that mother who called for help. Nobody helped. No, he shouldn't have did it. No, is there mental problems? Absolutely. But they could have recognized somebody. He fell through the cracks.
Yes,
and I think we got more and more kids, and they fall through the cracks. And before you know it, these kids snap. You know, it doesn't take much to snap. Sadly, what you don't know is the kids that snap are also the kids that commit suicide. They snap in a way that they don't want to hurt somebody, but they hurt themselves. And you know, teen suicide is on the rise. And it's sad, and especially, I think, because of COVID and everything else. But teen suicide is bad. Kids are hopeless already or fell through the cracks so bad that they're killing themselves already. Think of that. I mean, you're lucky. You know, 12 grandkids, pretty much all grounded. I mean, everybody has the wish in life, you know, it's going to happen. But you got kids, you know, you have a tenant of kids that tend to their parents, you know, even the grandparents, everybody else. But then you have others who don't have that.
Well, there's a lot of kids that don't have anybody loving them like they need, and they just lose sight of, and they lose hope. And
yeah,
I guess
at such a young age.
At a young age, and it's really scary.
And I think that's deep-seated. I mean, you can't, like you said, how don't you hug some poor kid who needs that hug? I don't give a shit what grade it is.
Well, I let them come up to me and hug me, and then it was mutual, really, in that respect. If they needed a hug, they came up and hugged me. It wasn't an everyday occurrence, because these are bigger kids, but when I substitute teach or when I did, the little ones are the ones, though, that, I mean, they just want your attention. You know, Miss Nunez, Miss Nunez, Miss Nunez, you know, over and over again, and you just have to have a lot of patience, because they're just needy.
Well, they're needy because they don't have it at home.
Might be.
You know, it could be a lot of reasons. I'm not knocking the parents.
I mean, there's so many personalities. You never know for sure. But
what's the worst thing you've seen a kid do in your school? You had 12-year-olds?
I saw a kid get mad, bully another kid, push him, and broke his arm. That's bad.
I saw a 12-year-old kid selling oxycodone.
Oh, now I'm talking about somebody hurting somebody or bullying.
So he had a fight with a kid. He broke his arm. Was it a bullying situation? Or maybe not.
Well,
maybe he was the one being bullied.
Come to find out, they really were friends, but they got kind of mad at each other, and they got a little rough, boys.
Right.
And, there were some things that happened between students and teachers that were wrong, but I'm trying to think.
Students and teachers?
Just trying to be funny, like putting something in their coffee or... you know, the teacher going, spitting it out, you know, stuff like that. Kids are just, they get a little older and they think these things are funny, but sometimes they're not. But I didn't really see that much.
I guess you had a kid that did that.
I saw more substituting than I did when in my own class.
Well, you know, substituting is bullshit.
It's tough.
Listen.
You can call it babysitting, but you still, if you're a good substitute teacher, you do what the teacher leaves you to do.
I'm going to disagree. Give me a freaking break. How's that? When you got a substitute teacher come in, everybody knows it's a day off for everybody. You know, it's bullshit. Okay. Substitute teacher comes in and says, all right, get your books out. You're a little...
Well, that's not true. They do. They usually cooperate some. Some don't. You just do the best you can, and then you go home and you don't worry about it. That's why I didn't mind doing it, because I like the kids. But I try to pick and choose where I go, but COVID hit, and that all changed.
Listen, I'll tell you, I was speaking in a high school right around here, and there was a teacher in the classroom. It was such a joke. That guy sat in the back of a classroom and did nothing. Literally sat in a chair, read a book, nothing. Told the people to go do this, you know, open up a thing and do.
Well, that's not teaching. That's just babysitting.
He didn't give a shit. He was tenured. He was retiring soon, they said.
Oh.
And they don't give a shit. I don't believe in tenure for teachers. Do you?
Well, I wouldn't have a retirement if I hadn't worked more than 8 years. You're talking about...
No, no, I'm talking about where you can't get fired.
Oh, you can get fired now. You don't believe in that? That you can get... that you?
No, you know, if a teacher's tenured, you can't get rid of them.
Oh, that's not true anymore. You can be fired.
It used to be where you couldn't get fired.
You
know?
Can be fired now.
For what?
I don't know. Whatever. I don't really know. I don't know anyone that ever got fired. I know you get raided. I suppose if I... Well, for sure you're going to get fired if you do something inappropriate.
Well, you should. You should get arrested,
that's happened,
too.
That's happened. They've gotten arrested, and people have been in put in jail.
Prison. But have you ever seen a teacher get arrested?
No. Never seen a teacher get arrested.
You heard of teachers getting arrested?
Yes.
Did you know the teacher?
I did not know the teacher.
I was wondering if you maybe like, wow, I never thought
that. It
was that
a sixth grade teacher, though, and it was up north. And
abuse of a kid?
Sexual abuse.
Oh.
Children.
Yes. That's like giving a lie and the key to the meat house, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's why when I said about the hugging, after some of this stuff kind of happened, well, I knew of a couple children that falsely accused a teacher of something, and it took 6 months to get it cleared, and they finally came clean. They didn't like her. They just decided they were going to make something up and pulled her out of the classroom, of course, while it was investigated, and she was cleared. Came back into the class, worked one more year, was teacher of the year, and the kids, you know, they got in trouble, I guess. I don't know really what happened to them, but I was glad for the teacher to get cleared because
false abuse is just as bad as, you know, anything.
Yes.
Because it ruins lives.
So.
It's just a perception, especially if media takes it or whatever. Oh, teacher suspended for suspecting of sexual abuse. And they didn't do anything.
But like you always say, you know, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. So they can pull someone out of the classroom and say, you did this. But it's not necessarily true. But it's just that they have to pull them out.
You have to investigate.
To investigate. And it takes time.
What, if there was one thing you could do at schools make them better, what would it be?
Have people like you in there talking to kids. Having more...
Realistic
subjects. I heard recently that there was going to be a new subject matter that teachers were going to have to teach or having to do with sexual trafficking and that subject. But I don't think teachers are qualified necessarily to come in and do that. I think somebody who's well-versed in that subject matter, like you, keeping kids out of trouble and knowing, you know, making good choices, somebody like you in the schools or a program for that, especially in the junior high and high schools, would be an excellent addition to the curriculum.
You know, when I do speak at colleges, and I speak at Eastern Florida State College and a couple, but you've been with me when I went to the Bronx.
Right. That was amazing.
I had about 800 kids in there, and you could hear a pin drop.
Oh, it was amazing. Those kids were just... in a coma, I think, with his speech. But I mean...
But I keep it real.
You keep it real.
I can't have a teacher or them come into me and say, oh, you have to do it this way, that way. If I say the word fuck, I say the word fuck. I mean, I don't...
Well, you did do that in North Carolina, I think, remember? And wow, that was effective. But then they made some note about your language.
Oh, you know when I did
that?
The DARE program?
When you came in with shackles and
That's
handcuffs.
That's the DARE program in the state of... I spoke at the state of North Carolina.
Well, in the school, too.
Right.
In junior high school.
Yeah, but that was for the DARE program.
Right.
And I spoke to a whole school of kids. And it was in the newspapers and everything. And, boy, I put them on... I mean, you want to talk about shock value. But how about the parents' quotes?
Parents' quotes were great. Is the assistant principal was nervous because he just was. He was new, and I think he got a little bit of backlash from
He got intimidated, I think. But the kids
liked it.
And the parents who were there, there were parents there.
I mean, it was real. They were like, this guy's real. They came out afterwards with been crowded around you and couldn't get enough attention.
The parents talked to the media and said, we need this. This is what's needed in these schools. Because I don't bullshit. You know, I always keep, people always ask me, what makes your program so good? Yes, the story I have. but it's keeping it real. And I often tell people, I bring my stories down to their level and then raise them up. Like, you tell them about the bad, the this, the fucking bad, or whatever the word I use, and then you bring them up to that you can change, you can get better. You shouldn't judge a person. You shouldn't, because you know how many young people come up to me and say, my dad's in jail.
Or, well, that happened that day in New York.
Oh, many times.
She was just so affected by your talk.
And so many people, though. I mean, I have a relative or a brother or mother or father in jail. And it's rough because they don't have anybody telling them in the school. They're getting yelled at for the stupidest shit and this. And they're thinking, my dad, you know, I can't even speak to my dad. He's in jail. He's getting abused or whatever. You know, kids are smart. You don't think they know what's going on when they read the news articles about a riot in a prison or a, you know, abuse going on in prison system. Our prison system affects so many parts of our world that you don't even realize, like you. You don't even realize it. But there's people who get out of prison not rehabilitated. They live in your neighborhood. They don't give a fuck if they get caught, and they are the problem. Or then you get people who are innocent, or you have been with me when I testified in court. Mm-hmm. A kid named Shuler should not fucking be in prison.
No.
This kid didn't even, he was 17, I think, when he committed his crime. He had to go back. He was in for 18 years. He was an author, a musician, a composer,
an artist.
This guy was just amazing. And he wasn't a killer. He didn't kill anybody. He wasn't the shooter. He was involved in a robbery. I think somebody might have got killed. Something happened like that.
Well, he might get a chance to get out here, I hope.
It's
next time up.
It's a shame how we throw lives away.
I know, we keep people in there that don't need to be in there.
We throw lives away like it's nobody's business. And then those people who do that claim to be Christian. I don't get that.
Well, you've helped people in the court system by being an expert witness, and you know the system, and I think we just need more people like that to be advocates for.
I agree, but I think we need more people in leadership positions who are willing to.
I agree.
You know, I was talking to my brother today at lunch, and we were talking about how screwed up the system is with politicians. How politicians don't give a fuck about anything but their job. Now, I'm not going to get into the politics of things too much, but you take, I respect Liz Cheney. She's a Republican from Arizona who stood up for her own values against Trump. Now, whether you believe in Trump or not, it's not anything to do with this conversation. But she was not buffaloed or pushed by another person's, oh, you'll never get elected if he don't, you know, you don't kiss his ass, or you know, you're going to lose the next election. When people, listen, I often tell this in politics. If you are a Republican and you vote 100% Republican, you're an asshole. If you're a Democrat and you vote 100% Democratic, you're an asshole. Somebody says, what do you mean? I go, you cannot tell me there's not good points on both sides of the aisle. Not 100% of Democrats are right. Not 100% of Republicans are right. There is a happy medium somewhere. And we lost that in our politics. We used to have that, young people here won't understand this. We had a guy named Tip O'Neill, who was the Speaker of the House, and he used to go to the White House, a Democrat from Boston. He used to go to the White House and have a beer with the President of the United States on the lawn.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, one was the head of the Republican Party, obviously Reagan, and also then he was the head of the Democratic Party, Speaker of the House. And they would hammer out stuff and get things done. And
well, I think you'd be a great politician.
You know,
you can speak, you're passionate.
I always wanted to do it, but then I don't know how much you can get done.
I
probably knock one of those motherfuckers out right on the floor. Could you imagine me on there, punch somebody out? That'll be in the news. I'll get censured. Larry Law knocks somebody out on the floor.
Probably reach more people on YouTube than you might that way. So
no, I just get so mad at politicians who are just such bullshit. They follow their own bullshit. They get buffaloed by a Trump or a Biden. Either way, if you don't have your own mind, and the own, you should be representing your district. Mm-hmm. And your district, any fucking district, is not 100% Republican.
Right.
And it's not 100% Democrat.
Right.
I don't care what and how big it is. I live here, and we live right here in Brevard County, Florida, is one of the most Republican areas in the country. And you know how many Democrats? There's a ton. There's 41% Democrat, 59%, whatever that number.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that means if you just break that up into numbers, there's 41 people out of 100 have a different view than you.
So, well, a lot of people like who they like because it suits them. I know.
Well, and it's okay.
You know, like our governors.
No, that's good. That's okay.
But not everything. There's going to be things you don't like about this one or that one.
I have that with our governor. I like our governor on some things. Mm-hmm. I don't like him on other things.
Right.
And that's okay.
I just don't talk politics too much. You know that?
No, because we jump on you pretty quick here in the office. Whether it's my son or anybody.
Well,
you know, yeah. We're rough. And we're all over the map. You know, right. People know I'm a libertarian. I'm going to speak to the president named Steve of the Libertarian Party, which I speak there every year. And it's a great, great room. I mean, there's maybe 100 people in the room, and they're really libertarians. Get the fuck out of my life. You know, get government out. I don't get Republicans when they say, less government, but you have to do this, or you have to do what we say about masks. No. If you're a Republican, let the local government handle it. How can the governor of Florida say that he won't let a cruise industry have a vaccine mandate? That's up to that business, a private mm-hmm. business.
Right.
Why shouldn't they do what they want for the best of their business? Right. Why do you want the government in your business now?
You're never going to get 100% everybody to agree.
No.
So.
But why did government get in your business with abortion? Whether you believe in it or not, and I know you don't, and that's okay. I'm not a big believer in abortion just to get an abortion. But if it's a woman's right to choose, why should the government get involved in that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go and talk about that anyway. But we're going to close on that note, I think. Anything to say to the audience?
Thank you for being a big supporter of Mr. Lawton and his YouTube channel. I think it's awesome what he's done since I've met him all these years and the effect he has on people. I read all your emails, keep them coming. The suggestions are great. It's only so much time in a day to watch TV and videos and movies to review, but they're put in a list and,
oh, yeah.
And he does the best he can in reviewing them.
We get a lot.
We do get a lot. And,
not only do we get a lot, we do a lot.
And thank you for the fan mail because it's needed and it's, I love reading all the mail and there's people that he's helped that he didn't even know he helped, just like the stories he said. And
oh, they're great. I just got another one.
Just got another one. And it's, he's,
How do you like working with Peter?
Peter's one of my best friends. Peter's a great guy. And we have a
I know Peter for 54 years.
He's my Disney buddy. And
best.
He's just a great guy.
He's my new psychologist, too.
He keeps Larry, you know, in line. And you do need it. But then Larry's his own boss. If he doesn't want to do something, he's not going to do it. So
that's a fact.
He's in charge. Larry Lawton is in
charge. No, but Peter and Darian and my son and you all have a good say in what we do. Because it's a team effort, everything we do.
Right.
You know, you don't just do it. Yes, I'm the voice, the face of it, or whatever. But and it's my story, but we have to have a team effort to do it. If we
Correct.
Don't.
It's a good team.
It's a fun team.
Fun team.
And that's what makes it. It's a small team. People think we have a big no. It's
no.
A couple of us. And we work hard, and we have a lot of fun doing what we do. With that note, everybody, I want to tell you guys, please stay safe. Make one good choice a day. It usually goes into another good choice. And listen, help somebody, like I say, every day. Try to help somebody do something. Go to a person's house and sit with them while they're sick. Or go help an old lady. I read a great thing in the paper. I think it was today. This
well, it
young
makes you
man,
feel good when you do that, too.
Oh, I read in a paper a young man who... Oh, and when I read it, it was really good about this young kid who saw an old man in a grocery store, couldn't lift his head. He was old, old, and could barely turn. And he ran all around the store for him and got him his groceries. And he helped him to the car and packed his bag. Little Teddy, he asked his mother if he can do it. And the mother suggested the guy wanted to give him a tip and he wouldn't take it. Mm-hmm. And it just made me feel so good.
Well, you do stuff like that. I do stuff like that.
I know we do. But it made me feel good that a young kid did that. And I want people to do that.
Just be a good example.
Absolutely. Anybody, have a great day. We're here every Monday and every Friday at 8 a.m. right here on Larry Lawrence Podcast, The Real Deal. Have a great day, everybody. Please stay safe.